Welcome to the State of Shakespeare. One of the most important and iconic Southern California theaters is celebrating its 40th anniversary season this year. The Will Geer Theatricum Botanicum's artistic director Ellen Geer and company members Melora Marshall, Ian Flanders, and Willow Geer joined us recently from their beautiful outdoor theater in Topanga, California. We're looking forward to sharing our full interview in an upcoming episode. In this State of Shakespeare aside, Ellen Geer performs Oberon and Melora Marshall is Titania in an excerpt from Act 2, Scene 1 of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Melora, you've played this play many times as well.
Yes.
How many roles have you played?
My goodness.
Most of them. She's like me.
Yeah, I mean, I played Helena and Titania and the first fairy, and I played Quint Hawk for a very long, the Peter Quince, mm-hmm. And I even played Moon. Not Moon.
Delightful role.
It was abstinent. I was Moon. I was starving. Yeah. But no, that's what we do with these plays. We get to do it all over the years. If we stick at it long enough, we can walk it right along to the end.
I love it.
Now this year she's playing Grumio in Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
So fun.
Richard III, the gender bend around here.
Yeah, which I'm so grateful for, because as actresses get older and go from ingenue to leading lady, and then what comes after in classical theater diminishes a great deal and becomes the aunt or the crone, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. the mother, the grandmother, and those parts shrink enormously.
So you have to do things like Prospero and Grumio, and we have to do these other parts. It's only fair.
Actresses that are willing to play men and find that part of themselves and exploit it, they will discover that there's a great deal more they can do as they get older.
Absolutely. You've brought something to share as well.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. What are we going to do, Ellie?
Why don't we share something together? Years ago, I remember Douglas Campbell, who was a great man of theater. As you know, he worked with Dr. Tyrone Guthrie. I one day went up to him and said, I think I want to play Oberon. Do you think that's stupid? I mean, after all, he is a fairy. And he said, oh, that's ridiculous, Ellen. But we went ahead and did it, and Melora was playing Titania, and I was playing Oberon. And after the first performance, he came back and he said, oh, I think you've got something there. Yeah. Want to do a little of that?
Absolutely.
Ill met by moonlight, proud Titania.
What? Jealous Oberon? Fairies, skip hence. I have forsworn his bed and company.
Tarry, rash wanton. Am not I thy lord?
Then I must be thy lady. But I know when thou hast stolen away from fairyland, and in the shape of Corin sat all day playing on pipes of corn and versing love to amorous Phyllida. Why art thou here? Come from the furthest deep of India, but that forsooth the bouncing Amazon, your buskin mistress and your warrior love to Theseus must be wedded, and you come to bring their bed joy and prosperity?
How canst thou for shame, Titania, glance at my credit with Hippolyta, knowing I know thy love to Theseus? Didst thou not lead him through the glimmering night from Perigena, whom he ravished, and make him with fair Egli break his faith with Ariadne and Antiope?
These are the forgeries of jealousy. And never since the middle summer spring met we on hill, in dale, forest, or mead, by paved fountain, or by rushy brook, or in the beached margent of the sea, to dance our ringlets to the whistling wind. But with thy brawls thou hast disturbed our sport. Therefore the winds, piping to us in vain, as in revenge, have sucked up from the sea contagious fogs, which, falling in the land, hath every pelting river made so proud that they have overborne their continents. The ox hath therefore stretched his yoke in vain, the ploughman lost his sweat, and the green corn hath rotted ere his youth attained a beard. The human mortals want their winter cheer. No night is now with hymn or carol blessed. Therefore the moon, the governess of floods, pale in her anger, washes all the air that rheumatic diseases do abound. And thorough this distemperature, we see the seasons alter, the spring, the summer, childing autumn, angry winter, change their wonted liveries, and the mazed world by their increase now knows not which is which. And this same progeny of evil comes from our debate, from our dissension. We are their parent and original.
Do you amend it then?
It lies in you. Why should Titania cross her Oberon? I do but beg a little changeling boy to be my henchman.
Set your heart at rest. The fairyland buys not the child of me. His mother was a vultress of my own. And in the spiced Indian air by night full often has she gossiped by my side and sat with me on Neptune's yellow sands, marking the embarked traders on the flood. When we have laughed to see the sails conceive and grow big-bellied with the wanton wind, which she, with pretty and with swimming gait following, her womb then rich with my young squire would imitate and sail upon the land to fetch me trifles and return again as from a voyage rich with merchandise. But she, being mortal, of that boy did die. And for her sake do I rear up her boy, and for her sake I will not part with him.
How long within this wood intend you stay?
Perchance till after Theseus' wedding day. Ah. If you will patiently dance in our round and see our moonlight revels, go with us. If not, shun me, and I will spare your haunts.
Give me that boy, and I will go with thee.
Not for thy fairy kingdom.
Fairies away. We shall chide downright if I longer stay.
Well, go thy way. Thou shalt not from this grove till I torment thee with this injury.
All right.
Wow. That is amazing.
I know. Mom's face is bright red right now.
That is amazing.
That's fantastic.
Now, who shall we credit with the background sound effects?
All of it.
It's everybody.
And is that a common practice out there?
Yeah.
No, that is fantastic.
Well, a visit to Topanga to marvel at the perennial production of A Midsummer Night's Dream is one of the magical, iconic Los Angeles experiences. And it's fitting that you're reviving the show for the 40th anniversary season. Why has your production of Midsummer been so successful year after year?
As if you can't tell by that.
It's the audience. This is going to sound a little crass, but we are theatricals. It is our cash cow. And it also is the best training for a young person coming into Shakespeare, because they relate so to this, especially the young lovers. And everybody loves fairies. You can love fairies until you're 100.
Also, I'd say that the language isn't as difficult as some of Shakespeare's later plays. The rhyming couplets make it easier to really focus on what's going on, and it's light and jovial. So Dream is one of those ones where there aren't too many words that are difficult to understand, or if there is, you can understand the sense through the sentence. And I think it's a great little gateway drug to Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's why people bring their children, and they bring them by the score to come and watch A Midsummer Night's Dream and get pulled into the world of the fairies and the funny mechanicals and Bottom with his donkey head on and then the royalty. And it sits so beautifully on our stage with nature as one of the main characters.
We also have wonderful dinners here prior to the show, and the fairies go running around with the audience. So it's an all-inclusive experience.
Yeah.
There truly is a magical alchemy between the outdoor setting and this play. It's one of the sweetest experiences that I remember from all of my years in Los Angeles, and I can't wait to see it again.
It's always different.
We have crickets and owls and coyotes and
I heard all of that.
Yeah.